This message this morning is kind of a two-part message. It's kind of leading up to Father's Day. I guess it kind of steered toward men, but it's also can be applied to each and every heart and life that's here this morning, whether you're a young man, a young lady, man or woman, you can apply this to your life. You know, I want to share just a couple of things. I got some of this from one of the books that we received at our men's retreat when we went to Pinnacle of the Hills. Ronnie Floyd. This is some of the notes that I've took down from reading some of his material, and give him the credit for this. His daughter-in-law had sent him an email and had some of these things on it, differences between men and women. I'd like to share just a few of them with you. In paying for things, a man will pay $2 for a dollar item that he wants. Women will pay a dollar for a $2 item that she doesn't want just because it's on sale. Arguments. A woman has the last word in any argument. Anything a man says after that is the beginning of a new argument. Marriage. A woman marries a man expecting he will change, but he doesn't. A man marries a woman expecting she won't change, and she does. Any married man should forget his mistakes. There is no use in two people remembering the same thing. I thought those were all cute. Title to the message this morning will be, God is looking for a few good men. See, it's just not the Marines that are looking for a few good men, but God is looking for a few good men. Let's go with the Lord in prayer before we get into the Word. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for the freedom to come here this morning to be able to worship you. Father, to be able to just share these moments together, Lord, and to glorify and honor you, Lord. Now, I just pray this morning that our lives outside of these walls here would show people Jesus, would show people love, Lord, and Father, that our lives would stand for truth and for righteousness and for the life and example that you set before us, Lord, that our lives would dictate that, Lord. And as ambassadors for Christ, Lord, that when people looks at our lives, Lord, that they would see Jesus in us, Lord. And Father, may our lives be examples to people around us, the people we work with, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our spouses, to our family, Lord. And Father, may we take it serious, Lord, that when we're out in public that we're representing this church and most importantly representing you. In Christ's name, amen. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 reads, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the lamb, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." The scripture here in Ezekiel is telling us that God is looking for men to build up the wall, to stand in the gap. And in the scriptures here, he tells that he found none. I'd like to read you this quote. I believe it's familiar to all of us. "Give us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for. Because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything. Have you ever heard that before? Stand for something or we shall... Because unless we stand for something, we'll fall for anything. You know, I read you those differences between men and women. I also want to share some other things, differences between men and women. The amount of women that read their Bible last week was 49%. Compared to men, it was at 38%. The number of women that attended Sunday school last week was 25%. The number of men was 18%. The number of women that read or that prayed last week and women was 89%. The number of men was 77%. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the women are leading us in everything biblically. Like you look at most churches and Sunday school classes, the number of women that are there versus the men. There's one other I did not write down. A lot of times we get to thinking that church and God and living for Jesus is a woman thing. It's not a manly thing. One of the ones that I didn't write down I'd like to share with you. If a woman asks a man to play a game with him and he says that it's a girly game or it's sissified, what he's actually saying is that woman can probably beat him at it and he's don't want to play. I remember a few years back, I think Jolene was in the seventh grade, some of the guys were arm wrestling her and she was winning. And she asked if she wanted to arm wrestle me. I said, sure. I can take her. Well, she about broke my knuckles on that bench out there. You know, for a man to take a stand for God and live for Jesus Christ is one of the most manly things that you can do. Amen. You know, you seen these bumper stickers where it says, real men love Jesus. Real men pray. You know, that is so true. Because it takes more to get out of bed and come to Sunday school class, to come to church, to live a victorious Christian life before your family than it does to live for the world. You realize that? Our society and our world today, there's a lot of people that likes to portray the life of Jesus as something that was feminine. But it was exactly not. What happened after his baptism? Where did the Spirit lead him? Where did the Spirit lead Jesus after his baptism? To the wilderness. For how many days? 40. What did he do without? What? Everything. He did without everything. So how do we get this in our heads that it's not a man thing to follow Jesus? It's not a man thing to live for the Lord. How many of us are going to go out here into the seed ticks and copperheads and the wilderness of Buffalo River and live there for 40 days and 40 nights? Hello? It takes a man's man to do something like that. You know, our idea of camping is sleeping in a camper with an air conditioner and a bed. You know, You know, boy, that's roughing it, isn't it? That's going out in the wilderness. You know, so how do we get that mind thought of that living for Jesus and living a victorious Christian life is not a man thing? It's right the opposite. It certainly is a man thing to stand up and live for Jesus. So if you're an individual this morning that you're struggling to know who you really are and how you can find true significance in this world today, there is a man in the Old Testament that understood both. And that was the prophet Jeremiah. We're going to look at some scripture there in Jeremiah if you would turn to it. In this first chapter, God had shaped this young boy, into a true man's man. This man lived a life full of conflict. God used him to announce coming judgment against the Judah. And the people didn't care for his message. And as a result of, he faced down physical threats. He endured a trial for his life. He landed up in shackles for his faith. He even had to flee the authorities. He was slandered by a false prophet. He was even thrown into a pit, and yet he stayed faithful to God through it all. So how could he remain faithful through all that? How could he remain faithful? Is it because he understood what it meant not only to feel significant, but to be significant? God gave him 7 key principles that enabled him to stay strong, even in the toughest circumstances. We're going to look at 3 of those this morning. These 7 principles, or these 3 that we're going to look at this morning, they can do the same for you in making you feel significant. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7, But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10, See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. You see, even before you became one of your mama's prayers, even before you became one of your daddy's dreams, this scripture tells us that he fashioned you. And God wanted Jeremiah, he wanted him to know. He wanted him to know that he was important, that he was significant. The scripture tells us that he fashioned you, he formed you, he created you. Lots of times this world, this society that we live in, it wants us to make us feel like dirt. Sometimes our wives and our families makes us feel significant. But what God wants you to get this morning, and we must get from this, it's
And it needs to be something that sticks with you all the time. And it must be something that becomes personal to you. Even though the world, maybe your job or your friends or your family, they can make you feel significant sometimes or maybe most of the time. But you need to get this today, and God wants you to get it. It needs to become personal to you that He fashioned you. And what does that scripture say? That he formed you, He sanctified you, and that He ordained you. Look what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 139. Verse 13 and 14, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well." Everyone here this morning is fearfully and wonderfully made. You realize that God had a plan for you even before you were born? If you're sitting there thinking, well, man, that ain't much of a plan. Maybe you're not living God's plan. Maybe you're not living God's plan. And if you don't realize that you're not ordained, that you're not set apart for God, if you don't realize this morning that you are not fearfully and wonderfully made, then you're not living God's plan. Because when you're living God's plan, you realize that, you grasp hold of it, it comes personal to you. Maybe you thought you were a mistake. Maybe you thought you were an accident. That's not what the Scripture says. It says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You want to know who you are? I think that's something that every one of us as individuals, we want to know who we are. We want to know what we're about. If you want to know who you are this morning, we need to start concentrating on what God has done in you. And start concentrating that you're a marvelous work of His creation. And that He sanctified you. The word sanctifies means he's be set apart. That needs to become personal to you. Back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." This scripture here is not just for Jeremiah, this is for all of us. We are set apart. He set Jeremiah apart for His kingdom. Notice I said for His kingdom. And He's done the same for you. It means that God has invested you with holy significance. You realize that? As an individual. What have we been set apart for? As men, we've been set apart to be the head of our your family. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." We're to be the spiritual leaders of our families. That's what you're set apart for. That's what you're sanctified for. Ephesians 5:23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Men, we are the spiritual head of your family. That's what you're set apart for. That's what you're sanctified for. That's what you're ordained to be. And it's time that as men, we become a man's man and step up to that obligation. We step up to the plate and become the spiritual head of our families and of this nation. The third thing we need to realize is that God chose you. God chose you. That scripture we read in verse 5 of Jeremiah says He ordained you, or He chose you. God is not only telling Jeremiah that He chose him, but He's telling you and He's telling me. What did Christ say about that in John 5, chapter 15, verse 16? These are Christ's words. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." You are chosen from God this morning. You need to realize that. That needs to become personal to you. Why did he choose Jeremiah the prophet and ordained him? He set him apart to speak God's word, to warn the people. What has God chosen you for this morning? He has chosen each one of us that are sitting here this morning for something. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? It should be to live in such a way that it'll bring glory and honor to God. Whatever we do, or wherever we do it at, it should bring glory to the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And then back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever you're doing in your life needs to be bringing glory and honor to God. He has chosen each one of us for a witness. It's what we talked about in Sunday school class. He's chosen you to be a witness for Him, to make a difference. To make a difference. See, the thing about that, to make a difference, you got to choose to do so. You got to choose to want to make a difference. You have to choose to be a faithful witness. You know, there's nothing more that brings glory and honor to God to see a man being a man's man and being on fire for the Lord. Standing up in his faith and living in this sinful world that we're living in, and live for God and live a victorious Christian life. That's what brings glory and honor to God. Start sharing your faith. Start sharing your faith with your friends, with your co-workers, with your family. Not only sharing with them, but living a life in front of them that they can see it. You've been chosen for the kingdom of God. And if you miss this one right here, if you miss this, you miss it all. It's went right over your head. It's not about our kingdom. It's about His. If you don't get that, you're not going to get the rest of this. It's not about our kingdom. It's about His. It's not about that another $100 that we can make. Because all that, remember what Solomon said? He said it's all in vain. if Christ comes back tomorrow, if you die today, what does that matter? See, when we partner faithfully with God and become a man's man and step up and do His work for His kingdom, not ours, what can people say about our lives after we're dead and gone? I want to share a scripture with you. Acts 13, verse 36. It's talking about David, King David. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. In other words, David, the scripture says, David served his generation. Can they say that about you at your funeral service? That you served your generation and you did it bringing glory and honor to God. Can they say that you realized that in your life that you were special to God and that your life had a purpose and that you realized that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? See, it's a blessing to realize and to know that God chose you, that you're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. That's the kind of significance that God wants you to have. That's what He wants you to realize this morning, that you're that special to Him. Yes, we can work hard, we can succeed at our jobs, and we can make money, but if you're doing it for retirement and you're doing it for wealth, it's all in vain. We need to be doing it for the glory of God and use our resources and our gifts and our talents for His kingdom and not for ours. Sounds like a big responsibility, doesn't it? Well, old Jeremiah, he thought the same thing. When God gave him a peek into the future, it intimidated this young man. And what does he do? He started making excuses. Back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, look what he says. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. When God gave him a peek into the future, it intimidated and he started making up excuses. That's the very same thing that we do. We start saying that I can't do that. I can't speak. I'm too young. I don't have the experience. Who would listen to me anyway? Have you ever asked yourself that? You ever told yourself that? Don't let Satan tell you this morning that you cannot make a difference. Don't let Satan this morning tell you that I need to wait till I'm 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. Because there's a good chance that when you get to be that age that you'll still be waiting. God wants to use you. All we got to do is step out in faith. See, it doesn't matter if they'll listen to us. It doesn't matter if they'll listen to you. You can't use that as an excuse. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. God has blessed you this morning. He has chosen you. He has given you the words to say, just like He said to Jeremiah there. He says, He's touched, and I touched my mouth. God has touched His mouth, and He'll do you the same way. All you got to do is share the word. See, that's where the power is from. It's from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's not the words that we use. It's not the words that we speak. It is the power of God.
and the Spirit of God. That's what brings conviction on the hearts and lives of individuals. So right now, we need to learn to love Him. We need to learn to walk with Him. We need to stand and proclaim the Word of God. Jeremiah overcame these excuses. You know how he did that? He realized it became personal to him that he felt significant, that he was something special to God. And he saw himself as being fashioned, as being set apart, as being chosen, as being sanctified by Lord God Almighty. And when you realize that, your life takes on a whole new meaning. And I'm not talking about everybody being a pastor, everybody being an evangelist, a preacher, or a missionary. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God that is within you, or should be within you, that you can take with you wherever you go. That you can stand up and proclaim the Word of God and make a difference in the kingdom of God. Because that's what it's all about anyway. You know, we can make all the excuses we want to, but there is no excuses. God has given us everything. He will give you everything that you need. All you got to do is step out in faith. You know, I hope this morning, if you do not get anything out of this, that you realize that you have a purpose in this life, and that purpose is for the kingdom of God. And He had a plan for you before you were even conceived. Notice I said a plan for you. But it wasn't our plan. See, that's why sometimes we get that mixed up. You say, man, things are crazy in my life. This is going on, that's going on. Maybe it's because it's your plan. If you're living a life like that, you need to stop. You need to be back up and get into God's plan. Because I'm telling you, I can stand up here this morning, and if I would have continued to live my plan, I wouldn't be standing up here this morning. You hear me? God has a plan for each and every one of us. You're special. He chose you. He ordained you. He sanctified you. He set you apart. And all you got to do is step out in faith.